Hello and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
Okay.
I think most of our listeners are aware of the fact that having a bias is not a good thing necessarily. Mm. A bias means that for reasons often you yourself don't even understand or you're not aware of, you are in understanding information incorrectly because of like your default setting somehow. We're just
Yeah, or something you picked up along the way.
Yeah, as well. It could be something learned. I'll give you three quick examples. I think most of you are familiar with these. Confirmation bias. This is where any piece of information that we come across that confirms that we were right all along about something.
I knew that.
Yeah. We love that information.
I knew that.
If it proves you're wrong, there are some people. I like to think I get pleasantly surprised when it's, you know, when it's like, wait, that's not what I expected. I was totally wrong. Most of us have confirmation biases, plural. There's also recency bias. If you ask people what have been the top 10 movies since the year 2000, they're going to list a lot more from like the last 5 years than the first, those other 20.
You should have seen this hockey game I was watching last night. It was the best game
ever
I've ever seen in my life.
And one last example is the anchoring bias. This is when the first piece of information ends up having too much weight. It just sticks there like an anchor. So Gabe, if I'm trying to sell you a teapot, And I write it out of the gate, I'm like, this thing's starting at 30 euros. It's hard to get away from 30 euros after that. Our brains latch onto it and get stuck. Biases exist. There are lots of them. Mm-hmm. And as we're learning through new research, sometimes there's a new bias that suddenly becomes apparent to us that we didn't know about before.
Let me throw you some headlines, Connor, that I've read recently. Sorry, Darwin. Most male mammals aren't bigger than females. Women may realize health benefits of regular exercise more than men. Patients have better outcomes with female surgeons. This is research that's putting females in a better light. If those headlines had been about men, we would not have liked them as much. And by we, I mean human beings.
That's the new piece of information here. It turns out we have all, either recently or over long periods of time, maybe we've always had it. There's a new bias out there, and it's that we like some kinds of research if they're favorable to women, and we don't like other kinds. That is exactly what we're about to hear about right now. Research showing a bias that it appears the whole world holds.
Science Unscripted.
All right. So, hi, everyone. My name is Steve Stewart Williams. I am a professor at the University of Nottingham in Malaysia. And my colleagues and I have just published a paper looking at people's reactions to research on sex differences.
Steve, how do people react to research on sex differences between men and women?
Well, reactions vary. And it depends a little bit about some of the features of the research in question. And one of the most important features is whether the research in question puts men in a better light or puts women in a better light.
So let's say, as I believe your experiment studied, let's say the research shows men in a better light than women. What happens?
When the research puts men in a better light than women, people dislike the research. They like it a lot less than when it puts women in a better light. If we tell participants that we found, on average, this cross-cultural study, and it found that on average women are smarter than men, they're fine with that. But if, on the other hand, we reverse that, we flip the sexes, and we say instead that the study found that men are smarter than women, they dislike that. And when I say they, I mean both sexes. Men dislike it, women dislike it.
What do you mean, Steve, that they dislike it?
The reactions overall are much more negative toward it. So they're more likely to think that the research is poorly conducted, that it's low in quality, that the research is harmful, offensive. All these different kind of negative evaluations are boosted when it's male-favoring research as opposed to female-favoring research.
This is a bias, right, in the general public?
It is, and it's a bias in the sense that we were very, very careful to describe the research exactly the same way, whether it was male-favoring or female-favoring. The only thing that we varied was whether men came off better or women came off better, otherwise identical.
So, Steve, if there's research showing that men are, and again, none of these things are true, but men are more intelligent, yeah, right, or they can draw better than women, or they can, in fact, multitask better than women. If there's research showing that, why would people react almost viscerally, negatively to that research?
It's a good question, and we asked exactly the same question of ourselves. We hypothesized and found evidence consistent with the idea that it's due to perceptions of harm. So basically, people think that male-favoring research is more harmful to women than female-favoring research is to men.
You said that it doesn't matter that men and women react in the same way. What about...
Yeah.
Does it matter who did the research? What if a man did the research, yeah, or if a woman did the research?
That does seem to matter a little bit. So we've done three studies on that. One of them found no effect of researcher sex at all. But two of them, we did find an effect of researcher sex. We had two main findings. One is that, and this is good news, people often predict that research conducted by women is going to be evaluated as being lower in quality. And we found no evidence at all for that. Overall, there was no difference. It didn't matter if it was a female researcher or a male researcher, which is, in all three of our studies, good news. What we did find, though, is that in some cases, we had some evidence that when it was research that put men in a better light, if it was a male researcher, then that research was seen as lower in quality. Okay. So male-led research, putting men in a better light, seen as lower in quality.
And the assumption there is that possibly what the male researcher would have had some sort of bias or
an ulterior motive,
yeah, to make men look great or something.
It didn't happen in reverse though, and I think so people didn't think that female led research that put women in a better light, they didn't see that as they didn't devalue that and see that in a worse light. And I think it's probably just for historical reasons and just the fact that there's been a lot more of men mistreating women throughout historically.
You said that you hypothesized that the reason people had these negative perceptions towards studies that make men look better than women in some way, that it was because of perceived harm to women, possibly as a result of those findings. You, if I understood your study correct, you actually did test that. That was kind of the third part of, yep, of your experiment?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So we basically had... two conditions. So half of our participants, we gave them some preamble, and the preamble told them about how useful sex differences research can be, specifically for women. So it can be useful in the medical sphere. It can be useful as well in terms, like for mental health reasons as well. It can be useful to do research on how the sexes differ in those areas. So it can be beneficial. That's one condition. And then the other condition was that we have some preamble that talked about some of the potential harms of sex differences research, how if it leads to exaggerated perceptions of the differences or galvanizes stereotypes, that can have negative effects on women. When we kind of primed them with the idea that sex difference research can be useful, they had less of a negative reaction to the male-favoring findings as compared to the female-favoring findings. Whereas when we primed them with the idea that sex differences research can be harmful, it amplified the aversion to the male-favoring finding. And that's consistent with the idea that perceived harm to women is a big part of why people react negatively to sex differences research and specifically male-favoring sex differences research.
So you told one group, hey, it's great if we talk about the differences between men and women, because there are some. Yep. And you told the other group, yep, it's not good to do that because it causes harm to women. Steve, which one, exactly, which one of those statements is true?
That's which a great question.
Is it good to discuss this stuff, or is it not good to discuss those differences?
I overall think that it is good to, and I wouldn't, you know, done research in this area, and I probably wouldn't if I thought that it was overall harmful. I think that if it's not handled carefully, though, that it can galvanize stereotypes and that kind of thing, so it can be potentially harmful. So it does need to be done carefully. So I think both of those things can be true, and the solution is just try to get as accurate as possible so that you don't bolster false stereotypes. And actually, that's a big part of the reason that I think that we wanted to do this research, is because I think it's important to see how people react to it so we can try to get it right and communicate it in a way that they don't get the wrong end of the stick in either direction.
Steve, I'm just going to be honest. I think the reason we called you is because before your research came out, I had the same theory as your research proved. That's my bias here.
Interesting.
And that's because I'm a science journalist, and it's my job to pore over not every study that's published every day. There are way too many, but the ones that kind of that make it through to us through various channels. And there seems to be a disproportionate number of studies. This is my personal opinion, anecdotal. A disproportionate number of studies that champion new findings that show that I don't know. Women, that's ridiculous. Women are more capable than before, but there's something about women, one that comes to mind from the last week's, women only need 2 hours of exercise to achieve the same results as men do in 5 hours of exercise, where it's very, very almost proactively pro-women. Is there a danger if the whole world wants or has a bias and wants research that shows that women are great? And women are great. They're wonderful. But if we're swinging in that direction, and that's the kind of stuff that we want, and there's far less research showing that men are also wonderful people in their own way, is that a danger?
I think potentially it is. I mean, I think that that bias, to the extent that it exists, and I do agree that it is there, at least to some degree, definitely comes from a good place. You know, we don't want to harm women, don't want to galvanize stereotypes. We want to walk away from the mistreatment of women that characterized most of history. But yeah, I think I always tell my students that if we want to make the world a better place, we do need to have an accurate picture of the way the world is at the moment. People dislike it if there's any suggestion that we're looking at innate differences or rather differences whether there's an innate contribution, partly because they think that means that must mean it's unchangeable, partly because some people think that means if there's an innate contribution, that must mean that it's good. Neither of those things, I think, follow, though. The fact that something is natural in some sense doesn't imply that it's good or bad or anywhere in between. That's entirely for us to decide. And likewise, the fact that there's an innate contribution doesn't mean that things aren't changeable or fixable, at least to some degree.
I want to make the world a better place for the people listening to this broadcast right now, Steve. And
great. Likewise.
I think one way to do that, when you say the word accurate, what is the most accurate way to describe the study that you've done for the people listening to this right now, so that when they're at their next cocktail party, how should they describe this study?
They could say, I guess, that this... this recent study came out that found that people tend to have an aversion to research that puts men in a better light than women. They tend to be wary of it and dislike it a lot more than they do otherwise identical research that puts women in a better light than men. And that potentially points to something of a bias in the scientific literature that is understandable, but could ultimately potentially have negative effects if it means that we end up with a less accurate view of men and women.
Steve, I'm basing this question entirely off your research. Isn't there a chance that three men talking to each other about how scientific research is received far better if it shows women in a better light, hence we men are, suffering under the burden of a previously hidden bias, aren't they going to be totally skeptical about our intentions here?
No, it'll be fine. they might be, but
this is just one chess move in the overall game of proving that men are better than women, right?
Nope, no. And I think getting the research right is, people are wary about sex difference research. And I think that the sex difference research is exactly what's shown us that that's not true. It's exactly what's shown us that men are not superior to women. It's shown us that we're very, very alike in many different ways. And I do take your point that people may be skeptical, at least at a gut level. Hopefully listening to the whole conversation, they will be less skeptical and think that maybe we've got a point. And I do think that ultimately it shouldn't matter who's saying it. It should be about the quality of the arguments and the quality of the evidence that we're talking about.
That was Steve Stewart Williams speaking to us from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Yeah. And a really important topic. Again, I think if you can zoom out all the way to actual objectivity, the idea behind scientific papers coming out with text on them in front of our eyes is to give us, as Steve said, a real picture of the world. And I was going to say how we fit into it. That's not the purpose of scientific research. It's looking at everything. But it should be fact-based. And it should hopefully circumnavigate our biases, or we should be aware enough of our biases to be able to look at all of that objective evidence as what it is.
I mean, I guess I can understand where the biases come from. I remember back in at the turn of the century, around the year 2000.
Which century? How long have you been around?
Around the year 2000, I had a girlfriend named Leah Martins, and we were fighting. We got into a huge argument one day, who was better, men or girls or boys? And are we still there? Is that where all this comes from, that we think that our sex is better than the other one?
It's possibly, yeah, connected to that. I think what Steve was trying to say is that it may be connected to our human history of gender relations and the unfairness that has been going on.
The oppression.
Yeah, and that it kind of shakes you a bit if there's scientific research that comes out that somehow fits into that old, outdated narrative. Mm-hmm. And the hard thing to accept is, well, that's very understandable and a very generous way to try to understand the world. But what if that fact was actually a fact? And that's hard sometimes.
Yeah, is the question, is it the job of science to correct that?
I think we've done our job here, honestly. I think the idea is to let all of you out there know that you're probably doing this too, whether or not you knew it. Yeah. You're happy to see or to hear Gabe and I talk about research that presents women favorably, and that if we're talking about men, research that shows them as in a favorable position, that's not going to make you as happy, and that's a fact, apparently.
Be aware of that.
Yeah.
And let us know how that makes you feel, because that's what turns up, that's what presses our buttons over here.
Yeah, hopefully not angry, although I think our listeners now know how to deal with that a little better. Just breathe. Just breathe. And email us, su@dw.com.
Bye.
DW, made for minds.